and welcome to Public School Matters, presented by the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. I'm Catherine Joyce, NCASA's Executive Director, and joining me today to discuss the latest legislative and policy news affecting our public schools and our students is Legal Affairs and Policy Manager Elizabeth Yelverton.
Hello, everyone.
We both hope everyone enjoyed a nice, restful Memorial Day weekend. I have to say, though, Elizabeth, last week at the General Assembly was anything but restful for us and a lot of other Jones Street observers. We saw some political fireworks with the first big public school bill that rolled out just ahead of the holiday.
We sure did, Catherine. We saw that the Senate leadership unveiled a bill entitled Parents' Bill of Rights, which was the Senate's proposed rewrite of House Bill 755, which you might remember was originally entitled Academic Transparency. And this bill just seemed to be controversial from the start.
That's right. And you know, proposed legislation is big and meant to make a splash when one of the chamber leaders gets involved. Republican Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger held a press conference May 24th to unveil this bill with Senate Education Committee co-chairs Deanna Ballard and Michael Lee. The media coverage that followed that immediately pegged the bill as North Carolina's version of the Don't Say Gay bill that created such a firestorm recently in Florida. And some state leaders, including Governor Roy Cooper and Democratic Senator Jay Chaudhry of Wake, compared this new bill to the bathroom bill from a few years ago that put North Carolina in the national spotlight and not in a good way. That one actually had caused some big businesses to pull back their operations here in North Carolina. Elizabeth, if this is really meant to be just about ensuring basic rights of parents in their child's education, which is what the bill sponsors contend, then why is this already causing so much controversy?
Well, Catherine, the Senate version of House Bill 755 includes pages and pages of new parental legal rights that are, quote, related to the education, health, privacy, and safety of their child, end quote. So many of the bill provisions are similar to the Florida bill you mentioned, including language that bans instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity to students in grades kindergarten through third grade. It also would require school personnel to notify parents prior to calling a student by a different pronoun at their school, which would occur if the child believed they were transgender and wanted to be called by a different pronoun. And you remember that with the infamous bathroom bill, HB2, which was later mostly repealed, that bill had banned transgender people from using restrooms corresponding to their identity in schools and other government buildings. So the part of this new bill focusing on some of those same topics is certainly the part that's making this bill so divisive.
I agree. And I think divisive is the key description here, especially since early discussions on the bill indicate that most legislative Republicans will support it and most Democratic lawmakers are likely to join Governor Roy Cooper in opposing it. We heard WRAL TV reporter Laura Leslie of Raleigh say the bill is politically charged and it's likely to hold big implications for the fall elections. And then we heard Pat Blackburn of the Moms for Liberty tell lawmakers in public comments this week that the bill is a litmus test for how we'll be voting in November.
Well, it definitely appears that this is one of the first shots fired in the battle looming in the November elections. And remember, these elections will determine which party will have control of the state House and Senate in 2023. So it's definitely a high stakes issue.
I agree wholeheartedly. And while we at NCASA are not getting into the political fray over the gender identity or sexual orientation components of this bill, and most of our school leader members won't either, we have been hearing some concerns and questions about other parts of this proposed legislation. Elizabeth, you mentioned that this is really a lengthy bill and actually imposes pages of new parental rights. What do you see in it that might cause concerns for school leaders who would ultimately have to be implementing it in our schools across the state if it becomes law?
Well, I think two main concerns for our members are some new deadlines that they would face under the bill, as well as some new grounds for lawsuits against either individual administrators or school boards. So the bill sets a 10-day timeline for a principal to provide information requested by parents, such as information about specific instruction in the classroom or any other information the parent is seeking. So the parent can then appeal to the superintendent if they are not satisfied with the principal's response, and the superintendent would also have a 10-day period to respond. At that point, a third appeal would go to the local school board, which would then also get a 10-day time period to respond. And ultimately, the parent can sue either school administrators or the board for the response not being timely enough or deemed by the parent as insufficient. And remember, Catherine, this is just the timeline for responding to parental requests for information. There's also a section in the bill requiring principals to respond to parental concerns within 7 days.
Wow, lawsuits and lots of rounds of appeals. That sounds like job security for a whole lot of attorneys. No offense, Elizabeth, since you're the attorney at NCASA. Some folks would say, though, that the response times at each level is really more than reasonable, or that the school district should always respond immediately to a parent's request. However, we know from our school administrator members that even this proposed timeline can be problematic. Can you shed some light on that for us, Elizabeth?
Sure. I think the best explanation came from one of our local superintendents who actually emailed her senator about this issue and shared that outreach with us, which we love. She said that legislating a response time from principals and the superintendent to parent concerns does not account for the many variables that impact communication, safety, and life events. And permitting parents to bring action against a school system for a response time will cause an undue hardships on schools.
Good point. I had a call from another superintendent last week who said that federal privacy laws meant to protect a student's rights have to be considered too. And administrators working to ensure a student's privacy is protected is just one of the many things that can cause a delay in their response to a parent. If a bill like this leads to a huge increase in parental requests for additional information, that also can bog down the response time. Just think about it. If a principal has 1,500 students in his or her school, there is no way to comply with a quick timeline if suddenly you have 500 of those parents, just a third, asking for information from the principal. Overall, based on what we at NCASA have heard from our members, there are some really big logistical concerns with this legislation, even though none of us oppose a parent's right to be involved in their child's education. Administrators all across the state want and need parental involvement, but just logistics of how to make this happen, that's what we're hearing could be problematic for school leaders across North Carolina. So, Elizabeth, what happened with the bill last week and what's ahead for it?
So the Senate Education Committee discussed and approved the bill on Wednesday, which was actually pretty interesting because the bill wasn't released publicly until the committee meeting had already started. So for many people, the first time they were actually seeing the bill was during the committee meeting when they actually approved the bill. And then it was passed by the Senate Healthcare Committee the next day. And that also had a very lengthy public commentary period. And by the time this podcast airs, we expect the bill to also have cleared the Senate Rules Committee and possibly even debate and votes on the Senate floor, where all 50 senators get a chance to weigh in. Once it passes there, which we anticipate it will, it'll go to the House, where 120 representatives must determine whether to concur with and accept the Senate version of the bill or reject it, which we have seen in the past. And if the House votes not to concur, then we could see a conference committee of senators and representatives appointed to work out compromise language.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And we'll definitely be following this legislation closely through all these next steps, and we'll keep our members updated. Besides this parents' Bill of Rights, were there any other education bills our folks should know about?
Well, Catherine, there's actually a few dozen other bills we're keeping track of right now. And these bills affect everything from retirement to broadband to school nutrition. We saw the House propose a similar parental bill of rights that actually extends the ban on instructing on sexual orientation or gender identity. This would actually extend that ban to sixth grade, whereas in the Senate version, it currently just bans it from kindergarten to third grade. We also saw a lot of Democrats introduce what I'm calling Leandro bills, which would provide more funding for the Leandro plan, which we've seen so far has not been fully funded. And we also saw a few Republican leaders file some placeholder appropriations bills, which they could use later to introduce funding related items such as employee pay raises, tax changes, capital needs, you name it.
Wow, that is a lot of legislation. And I know our members appreciate the fantastic job you do, Elizabeth, in keeping track of all the twists and turns that each and every one of these bills affecting public schools can ultimately take. And providing timely information to our members and other public school supporters who might be listening to our podcast, it's one of the reasons that we started Public School Matters, to keep our listeners updated on those things affecting our schools and our students. We also welcome comments and questions so we can share them from our mailbag on future episodes. So please feel free to reach out to either of us. Elizabeth, would you do the honors and tell folks how they can contact us?
Sure thing, Catherine. So to learn more about NCASA, visit our website, ncasa.net. Follow us on Twitter at NCASA Tweets, or reach out to the NCASA team directly by emailing info@ncasa.net. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again soon.
You've been listening to Public School Matters with the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. To stay up to date on legislation and policy news affecting K-12 education, we hope you'll join us for future episodes and subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for helping us ensure that each public school in North Carolina matters.